United States submarine base at Key West, Florida. A dispatch that quoted President Truman's press secretary, Charles Ross, as saying that President Truman has no knowledge of any secret project by this government that would give substance to the existence of such object. Ross also said that both the Air Force and the Navy deny that such
object... Hi.
Hi.
I just want to say, I hinted at this a second ago, off the record, but now on the record. Hey, what's up? My name's Noelle, and I'm never going to allow us to take a month off again, because every single week, I just, like, had the anxiety anyway. Like, every single week, I still had anxiety to, like, do an episode, or that we were late. Like, I just, it was still there, so, like, what's the fucking point?
Yeah, I also did. And I'm Chelsea. So I also had like the anxiety of being like, I should use this time to prep for October. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't do that because I was too busy prepping for FanX. But then I was also just so ready to shoot the shit that when I would see things happening in your life, I'd be like, what the fuck is she up to now? But we were still talking, but I felt so out of the loop.
Yeah, there's a difference. Like, we talk every day, but we like download information like on Patreon and stuff, so
yeah,
it was very weird, and so many things actually happened to you, and I was thinking, oh my god, look at that guy.
Oliver just walked in the room holding, what is this, an orange drink? A bubbly.
Tell her it's orange dreamsicle bubbly, and it's the best.
It's orange dreamsicle bubbly and fucking McClellan's whiskey.
That's that guy.
Oh, it's scotch.
It's the best bubbly. Tell her.
He wants me to tell you that's the best.
I can
bubbly.
Hear him, but don't tell him that.
He knows you like fizzy water.
Wow.
She said wow.
You know,
this is the main episode. You can only pull this shit on Patreon.
I'm just trying to say hi to all my fans.
Oh, he wants to say hi to all his fans.
Ty's not listening right now. So <that's none laughs> <of that. laughs>
That's a good fucking one.
My god. Also, speaking of Ty, I was on the podcast Instagram account and I went into our DMs and I saw that he replied to the podcast, the last year's picture and this year's picture of you and I at the Scientology booth. And he said, great hair growth, clearly talking to you. And then you just left him on a
What, you know what happened was I went in to see the reply and then I saw I was wearing the exact same shirt. And then I was going to screenshot it and send it to you. And I was like, oh, I don't need to screenshot it because Instagram photos go directly to my photo reel. But I was like, Noelle posted this. And then that was the end.
Yeah. I just thought that was fucking hilarious that you left him on red.
Don't bother me.
He really wanted to let
you know. He has Oliver's phone number. You could have messaged him.
God.
Yeah, my bad. Sometimes I leave a lot of people on red and it's accidental because I want to converse with you first.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forget.
That's a fun excuse to use. So are we allowed to talk about what happened to you in the most anonymous sense and way?
What way? The police thing?
Yeah, but without like saying names.
Oh, yeah, we totally can.
Because
I forgot that fucking happened. I thought you were going to ask what happened to me at FanX. And I'm like, why would I need to be anonymous about that? That's amazing. Oh, you mean this? No. You mean the trigger. Sexual assault?
Yeah. So this is also what happens when we don't record for a fucking month is Chelsea experiences a sexual harassment, sexual assault, and we just have to like sit with that information.
I felt like I hadn't told anybody, and this is why.
Yeah, this is literally why. So if you would trigger warning, we're going to talk about it wasn't violent. So it's not like that, but it is violating. So
yes, it is very violating.
Chelsea, if you would please take it away.
So the prelude to this is Oliver and I were like doing like tummy talks at each other, like blah, 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 blah. And then it was like, oh, we should get salads. I'm like, hell yeah, I'll go get a salad right now. And he's like, I don't know if I really want one. And I'm like, I'm going to go get a salad because it was on Labor Day. We didn't have work. And it was like 3 p.m. in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Go to Walmart. They had like a maple pecan salad. This is important to the story. They had a maple pecan salad, and it was, like, seasonal. And I was like, this is the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. So I pick up the salad, and I pick up some Avos, and I'm walking out to my car. And my car is my purple car, and then another car is parked next to it. But they have backed into the stall, so it's driver's side door to driver's side door. And it was happening very quickly because I had my, like, button for my car, the button is dead, so I have to manually unlock it. So I'm playing Pokemon Go, and I'm going to put
classic.
Yeah, I see movement out of my perif, and it happens in like one motion. I put the key in the door as I'm opening my door and swinging. The momentum of my body obviously turns me, and I see this man full on masturbating in the driver's side. I sit down and I close the door and I'm like, the fuck? I look over, he's looking right at me, and I just see him ejaculate everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I drive away. I get home, I'm very aggravated. The taste for maple pecan seasonal salads has gone out of my mouth.
Yeah, that's shocking, actually. Yeah. Wow. You don't say? You lost your appetite?
And I'm angry because I'm like, I wanted to go get fucking salad shit on a Monday afternoon in a public Walmart parking lot. I texted you and Taylor about it. And eventually you guys, I don't know, because I was full ACAB at the point where I was like, man, that sucks. But then it was like, no. There's a difference between like calling the cops on like minding your business. Like if I see like a woman with like 15 kids stealing shit from Walmart.
Mind your business.
But with these types of things, there's such a prevalence of ickery that I did call. Yeah. So I ended up calling the cops, but I have to say this wasn't the first time that I had like a dude pull shit. There was a few years ago, I had felt someone push their phone up my shorts when I was like vacuuming out my car. And the cop at that time had said that there's no crime against being a creep. So I was expecting a similar response, but I have to say, I called the cops. I did not call the emergency hotline. And I was like, hey, I had a dude like masturbate at me at Walmart yesterday. And then the dispatcher was like, I'll have a cop call you back. And I was like, okay. Cop calls me back and I tell him the story and he's like, okay. And he's like, if we find him, do you want to press charges? And I was like, hum-hawing about it a little bit. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. Press charges because that's freaking gross. And this is just like, I don't know. I feel like masturbating in public is just like the marijuana of like rape, right?
Well, yeah. And when I called you after you told us and you were like kind of moseying around doing something about it. And I called you because I wanted to be like, hey, this might be my true crime rotted brain, but I know that like we don't trust the police, and I know that most sexual violence cases are left to rot on a shelf, but we need to at least do our due diligence, you know, as humans on Earth, because people don't just wake up one day and be like, today's the day I'm going to go like publicly masturbate.
Right.
They've done it before, or they've done things like it, and they've escalated to that point by doing inappropriate things, and like they just get there.
Yes.
Like, and usually it just continues on and gets worse. And for every one time it's reported, there's probably 10 times that it's unreported.
Yes.
And I think that like, even if absolutely nothing happened, which thankfully something did, but even if nothing happened afterwards, at least like you could go to sleep knowing that like I at least tried. Even in this broken system, I at least tried, because I think like you're giving a voice to people who didn't feel comfortable or safe or confident to do it in the past, and also potentially either preventing it from happening in the future or giving a voice to people in the future that it would happen to.
Yeah. So I will say that I'm very grateful to you for like, I was being dismissive about it, honestly. It was like, what? Just another Monday, right? In the day-to-day lives of just being a woman trying to exist.
Yeah.
But I tell the cop what happened, and he's like, okay, let me see what I can do. I do tell him I want to press charges. And the cop hangs up. And I'm thinking that's probably going to be it. But what happened is this cop immediately goes to the Walmart where it happened at. And he gets all of the security footage. And he finds out that that guy had showed up about an hour before I got there and was just slow rolling through the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And then when he saw me pull in and park, he kind of followed me around a bit and then pulled in next to me. And the cop was like, he had been following you around and then was waiting for you when you got to the car. And then he followed you out of the parking lot. And I was like, that son of a bitch. I was like, I didn't even fucking notice. And the cop was like, he's like, well, you were on your phone. Cause I was like, yeah, I was playing Pokemon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, pay attention to your surroundings.
Yeah.
You know,
that's exactly,
maybe put the phone away.
Yeah. I think this cop had some classes, because the verbiage that he used was like, I want you to be able to exist in a world where you don't have to pay attention. But the unfortunate reality is people are going to look at you being on your phone, and they're going to take advantage of that, even in the middle of the day, especially guys like this. And so he wasn't being like, "Hey, you can't be on your phone," but I was like, fuck, dude, I can't even play Pokemon Go anymore.
You being on your phone wouldn't have prevented it from happening. Like, that's not, it's more of like, you being on your phone prevented you from getting one more second to like digest what was happening.
Yeah.
And maybe even like pick up a vibe that there was like a creepy dude following you around. Like, it would not have changed the outcome. It would have just like given you one HP. You know what I mean?
Yep, exactly. It would have been a single scry card if I were playing Magic the Gathering.
Exactly.
But unbeknownst to this motherfucker who pulled up next to me is the powers of OCD, right? And I'm not saying that in a sense of, like, I didn't clean my way into this, but I park in the same stall, like the same row every time. And I happened to know what stall I had also parked in, because stall 4 was open. And then I was like, nope, I can't go 4 because 4 is a bad number for me. So I parked up a little bit further than that. And I was like, I was probably in stall 7. And the cop was like, you had it exactly fucking right. And also, like, I didn't know
her
the
numbers,
car.
Baby. Her numbers. They come into play.
I didn't know the make and model of the car either. But I was like, I feel like it was a hatchback. But it was like not red, but it was a shade darker. So I'd say probably a maroon. And I described this guy to the fucking T, because the cop asked me to describe him. And I said, he looked like another piece of shit basement dwelling Reddit bastard with black tunnels and a fucking neck beard and no haircut. Mm-hmm. And when I saw, you saw his picture, because we found this guy.
Yeah.
And that's like exactly what he was.
That is literally him. He is a fucking Reddit moderator.
Yep.
Greasy, pig-faced, unkempt neck beard.
So the cop pulls the footage from Walmart, and then Walmart's like, find out who he is. He's banned for life. So hell yeah. Ruined Walmart for him. So then the cop calls in Box Elder County Sheriff's Office and is like, I'm going to get this guy. Like, I need you to go to his house, and I'm going to see if I can find him. So the sheriff's office of Box Elder County comes out and stakes out the house. And they're like, we don't see the car here, but the car is registered to here. So they go to the door, and then they're like, do you have a vehicle here that's like kind of red? And they're like, yep. And they go, what's the phone number of the person driving that car? The mom, it was the mom, ends up giving the phone number to this guy. And then the cop, my cop, calls him, and he's like, what's your license plate? And he goes, I don't know. I'd have to pull over. And he goes, were you at Walmart yesterday? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, were you at Walmart between these times? And he's like, yeah. And he goes, pull over and give me your license plate. So the guy pulls over and gives his license plate. And the cop tells him, he's like, the girl that you were masturbating at yesterday, like saw you. And now you have to come in. And he goes, I wasn't doing anything. I was playing a medicine to my leg. And the cop was like, if you were just going to, he's like, you didn't go into Walmart. You drove around for an hour, waited for her to come back out, and then you left when she came back out. So you drove to Walmart just to put medicine on your leg, and he was like, duh, duh, and the cop, like, had him, like, had his ass, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the cop's like, come to the police station, you're under arrest. And so this kid drove himself to the police station. I know all this because I have the police report. The guy drives himself to the police station with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then sits down and he gives his statement and he's like, no, I was applying medicine. But in between him coming in, that cop, my cop calls me back again. He's like, we got him. He will be arrested. He is under arrest. But I just want to tell you that he's telling me he's applying medicine. And he's like, I don't want to re-victimize you, but I need you to go into like horrifying detail of what you saw because I don't want you to get ripped apart by defense attorneys. And I was like, he had his hand on the shaft of his penis and was going up and down. When I got in my car, I saw him ejaculate. But I had to say it in like 100 words or more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the cop was like, he says he was putting medicine on his thigh. And I was like, I saw black pants with only the pale, shriveled penis just juxtaposed against it. And the cop was like, I hear you. And then the cop again was like, I'm so sorry. Like, let me know if you need like advocacy or like resources or whatever. And I was like, no, I'm okay. So guy gets arrested. His mom immediately bails him out of jail. He is getting an arraignment where your dad filled me in that just means he's pleading guilty or not guilty, essentially. Yeah. And then we go from there.
Yep.
The fallout from this all, I was more angry at first, but then there was like the secondhand traumatization of it because I was like, I just can't fucking exist. And I didn't eat my salad. It went bad.
Yeah.
And I was like, a day that should have lived in mediocrity and should have meant nothing. He took that from me. And I cherish my days of mediocrity because I feel like I've had some like trauma with my mom and my sister and like other stuff where I'm like, I just want a day to exist. And another cherry on top was I had been wearing the pajamas that my dad bought for me for Christmas. It was just like a sweatsuit set from Victoria's Secret. And that really upset my dad. Like that broke my dad's heart when I told him about it. And I was like, man, my fucking dad's dead. And he made Oliver upset. Like it affected Oliver too. He disrupted my life.
Yeah. It also should be said that you were wearing sweatpants. So once again, it doesn't matter what you're wearing.
But the cop did say that he had been driving around looking for someone like pretty and attractive. And I was like,
oh my God.
But I was like, hey, thanks. Even the shit thinks that like they can flock to all this. but it was so wild. And I'm like really excited for the arraignment. Like I want him to plead guilty and get like the book thrown at him because we also looked at the judge and the judge is like from BYU and I'm like, oh, get his ass.
Yeah, you're gonna have to like go to Bohm and buy some like prairie dress or something and have a
nice
fainting
turtleneck
chair. Should like show your little Jesus cross
I gotta wear a CTR ring. Savers and find one. But like, so it's like either if he pleads guilty, that's dope, it's on his record. But if he pleads not guilty, then I get the showdown that I fucking want.
Yeah, this is the tea that my dad told us. He was like, so nothing really crazy. And my dad read the report. And he was like, there's obviously everyone has two ways to go. The fact that there's two pieces of videotape evidence booked in already is not working in his favor. So if he pleads guilty, that means that his public defender, because he didn't have a lawyer on record, his public defender made a plea deal, and that's why he's doing that. Mm-hmm. And as far as we know, this is his first offense, so it would just be a slap on the wrist, as little as community service, because unfortunately, lewdness, which is what this is counted under, is a misdemeanor. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, but if he pleads not guilty, that means this goes to trial. And he's like, and it would probably just be a day trial, but that also means that they'll probably subpoena Chelsea to get her statement, either written testimony to read off or have her come in and give verbal testimony.
Yeah.
And so we are obviously hoping for the latter.
Because like,
he also said if he pleads guilty, like you wouldn't hear anything about it. Like nothing would really happen.
It's, he gets his comeuppance. I think the judge, I'm not sure if the judge just sentences him right then and there, but I think that they do. Like, that's why they have, like, the standard, mm-hmm. like, the mandatory minimums or whatever. So judges can just be like, in and out, in and out, in and out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And I was, like, upset to hear that even if he pled guilty, like, you wouldn't get a follow-up, like, you wouldn't get a letter. Yeah, and my dad was like, no, they just, like, it just goes away. And I was like,
Oliver's dad wants me to take him to court and sue his ass, and I want to be reimbursed for my
salad,
maple pecan salad.
Yeah, I mean, at this
and
point.
And avocados, because according to the GOP, that's the reason why my home is not paid off.
Yeah, it's the avocado toast.
The avocado. Yeah, that was so wild. It was very I was super bummed out because it also took FANEX prep away from me. And I know that that sounds like really trivial at first, but it pushed so many of my days back on feeling comfortable enough to be at the convention. And I feel like some of my panels suffered because of it. And then also the day after, like, all of this happened, like, I had gotten my wedding dress. So I'm on the phone with, like, the cop while I'm wearing the wedding dress. I'm like, this memory is tainted in the fabric of my dress now.
Mm-hmm.
You stupid son of a bitch. Like,
yeah.
So,
I mean, that's the thing, though, is, like, it is such a disruption. It's so violating. It just, and when we were talking on the phone about it, we were talking about how, like, in your mind, when you play back these horror-like scenarios, you think of everything that you would think you would do or that you'd want to do.
Yeah.
And then reality actually happens and it doesn't play out like that. Like, it doesn't, you don't get to be Lara Croft in Tomb Raider. Like, it's almost like fight or flight kicks in. And as, like, a woman alone in a public space, it immediately turns into flight. You know what I mean? And you just got to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was like, oh, I wish I would have just, like, punched it. But that's not. Yeah. It wasn't reality. I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah. Wish I would have punched it. Wish I would have maced him. Wish I would have gotten life split. Wish I would have taken a video. It's like, but when you're actually in those situations, mm-hmm. you just, like, it's a primal instinct to just get the fuck out.
Lizard brain takes over and it's like, oh, that is my apex predator. And mm-hmm. I can get away now. And then I go do it.
Yeah, exactly. So, a horrific, nasty, horrible situation. It's disgusting and despicable. And the other information we learned about this man makes this even more horrific and revolting and disgusting. And I wish him nothing but the worst.
Yeah.
I wish him misery and pain and suffering for all of eternity.
Yeah, I hope. In my heart of hearts that he gets reincarnated as a fucking woman. So.
Mm-hmm.
And then just exist, man. I hope he gets reincarnated as a woman. I hope he's small and frail. And I hope that he also does not fucking pay attention. That's what I wish for him.
I also hope that some sort of chemical accident happens to him and he chemically castrates himself.
Oh, that'd be beautiful.
So. That'd be so nice. But on a lighter note, we went to FANEX.
We did go to FANEX.
Speaking of tragedies, no, I'm just kidding.
Pros of FANEX is we got a good amount of time to prepare for our panels.
Yeah.
And I think that was especially evident in Star Wars. I mm-hmm. think that was probably the highlight of my panels. Also mm-hmm. my Harley Quinn panel. But the reason why Star Wars was so good was
because you were moderating it and you gave very detailed notes weeks in advance.
No, I was going to say because people brought their fucking A game. I think that you... especially when you came in with, like, the actual notes about the camera and the film footage and how that revolutionized media as we know it, the audience was so jazzed. We got so many applauses on that panel. Mm-hmm. And we weren't just regurgitating stuff like, I like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It was like we backed up in, like, factual ways why the prequels were so important.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a retelling of Star Wars, which is what I fucking heard it. We talked
about it. Wasn't just a jerk off session. Like,
yeah.
The fact that we're all there means we like it. Like, we don't have to spend too much time on that. We can go into specific details as to why we like it, but just being like, I like it, Star Wars, and yeah. I like collecting toys. Like, we don't have to fucking do that. I forget how fucking many years ago it was when you said, my goal of every panel is that people leave learning something new. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, that's actually like what I do. Like, that's why I go into such detail and research, because I too would like that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, to stay in our fucking pink pussy hat cringe era, I on Tumblr.gov, I think that it comes from us being like the only girly pops on a fucking panel. Like, and you go, if I don't come correct, if I don't come with things that none of these people in the room know of, like, I'll get eaten alive.
Yeah. It's, we have to work twice as hard in like literally any public space that is dominated by men.
Which, speaking of, you mentioned your Harley Quinn panel. Can I spill the tea about that?
Please do.
Because I would actually love to give, I think we have historically given feedback about the convention every year that it happens. And a big chunk of my feedback is how the panels were run this year. And the greatest example happened to you, which was the 30 Years of Harley Quinn panel, in which you were asked to be on the panel with less than 24 hours notice because there were zero women on the panel.
And here, yeah. So the panel process was very different this year. So for those of you in the know, in the past, you would submit a panel idea. They would open the panel ideas up to everyone, and then people would go in and pick and choose what they wanted. And that would cause nightmares, because you would literally get people who wanted to go in and talk about their fucking book, right?
Yeah. We also had, we've talked about it before, because like the pros and cons to that were all you had to do was submit an idea, right? Mm-hmm. And then the idea got put on a Google form. And then every single person in the panelist group, which unfortunately were 50% there because they should be and 50% there because of some version of nepotism.
Yeah.
Every single one of them just got a free for all. The only caveat was you can only pick 8, I think. Like, you can only pick up to 8.
Yeah,
something like that. But you can pick anything you wanted. And not only is Chelsea's author example a great one, where authors would just go on panels that were kind of slightly, I mean, backbreaking maneuvers to try to make it relevant. Like, I write a book that has dragons in it, so I'm going to go on a Game of Thrones panel. Mm-hmm. And then they just derailed and talked about their book and had their book propped up. And it was bananas nonsense. But then you also had people who, one of our greatest historical examples was someone who saw a Supernatural panel and thought that it was about like witches and wizardry, and then showed up and it was Supernatural, the fucking TV show, which has one of the most like diehard fandoms ever.
Yeah.
And that person, when they realized that, which was like the week of the con, just didn't show up.
They just
decided they weren't going to show up. So that's the negative to it. But the positive to that was you got to see like everyone's ideas in one singular place, which was cool. And then the other shitty side would be like, you would apply for some and then they would end up getting tossed in the final round.
Yeah.
So whatever, which sucked. But not only did it let you see what everyone wanted to do in one single place, it also gave you time between like that process and the next round of like, these are the panels we chose. This is the list of panelists on it, to prepare your material and like dive in more.
Right.
Whereas this round, it was, you have to come with everything and everyone up front, period.
Yes.
So that meant like not only your idea, but your fleshed out concept and summary and your fleshed out panelist group.
Yes. And you and I were super lucky because we have submitted the prequels panel for years. And this was the first year that it got approved. And we came in with like we came in swinging on expertise.
Yeah.
The other nice thing that I think was the all the comic book people saw the writing on the wall, and we immediately went to a small, concise group that we called ourselves the Comic Consortium, where we were like, here's all the different ideas. Who's down to moderate? We're submitting everything. But Harley Quinn got missed. So, yeah. But that's just because I was like, I was swinging big with the panels that I submitted. I submitted, I submitted Star Wars. So I was already slated for that. And then I submitted graphic novels for Greenhorn Geeks. And then I submitted 60 Years of Avengers. And then everything else, it was up to the other moderators to submit. Now, for some reason, Harley got submitted without any women on it. And I will say the guys at Validity Studios, who are friends of the podcast, Andrew and Chris, are the ones who put me on the panel. That
slay
wasn't
to them. Slay to them.
They did that. Or and also Travis, who does the crazy Utah, the really funny comics that he was at FanX also. But those three were like, the moderator says we don't have any girls on the panel, and those three are like, we're adding one.
Yeah, which I think fucking tits for that, because it would have been so fucking 2007 of them to do an all male panel.
Oh my god,
Harley.
Yeah. Well, that's how I got into that group in the first place, because my very first FanX ever, I was supposed to be about women in comics, and I got kicked off for a dude who was an author, so they put me on Batman as a consolation prize, and they were all on the Batman
panel. A tale as old as time, mama. A tale as old as time.
Yeah, so...
But the other shitty thing about this process, though, is, like, you're submitting the fucking panel, you're the moderator, so, like, we lose you as a panelist, which is such a disservice. Like, you're a great moderator, and whenever you moderate, the panels go amazingly, but... We also lose some of your like super detailed like points, summaries, like just information, because you know the responsibility of a moderator. You know it's to like sprinkle in stuff and keep the pace and make sure everyone has a roundtable discussion. You know from experience that when moderators insert themselves into the panel too much, it goes off the rails, so you don't do it. And then that sucks because like, we lose your perspective on the panel as well.
Yeah, it's... Thank you for saying that. I do have more fun on the panels that I am not moderating.
Yeah, of course. Like, and so it kind of sucks that, like, the helm is on you, because that means, like, now we lose you to being a panelist, which is super stupid.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I wish that, I don't know. I wish it could be different, because a lot of the onus was on moderators this year too, where I was the only one who was getting information about the panels, and like you guys didn't get to see it. And I tried to share that and be like really transparent of what you needed to know. And luckily it worked out.
Yeah, but they also like were messaging you 7 times for the same information over and over and over again.
Yeah,
and like that's
clunky.
Also exhausting for you. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was very clunky.
I also think that, like, this time was a very different experience for me. It's funny that you could even go back on this podcast and search the FanX or Salt Lake FanX or Salt Lake Comic Con, because it's had multiple names. You can search through this podcast history, and you'll hear us complain about things like, we are doing all of this free labor and like all this free prep, and like we are, you know, doing this for them, and all we get in return are 2 passes, right? A special guest lanyard and 2 passes. And here we are. Here we are, because like you got a +1 pass, which when we were both super big into cosplay, it was so nice to have a +1, because they were like your keeper. They would like help make sure you were going to panels, make sure you were going to the bathroom, make sure you were drinking, which sounds crazy, but like that's so necessary. Yeah. So anyway, also like now that we have partners, it's nice to bring them. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It seems like a very little, it was a teeny tiny consolation prize for all of the work that we were doing.
Yes.
And now all of that is fully taken away. Mm-hmm. We only get 1 pass for us. And rumor has it that that's going to even change. And then we get a discount code, which we had to beg for and didn't get until like 2 weeks before the actual convention
until
happened.
It could actually be useful to anyone who was going to go. People had already bought tickets months in advance.
Yeah. So it was crazy. And then we didn't have special guest passes. And so the problem with that is the special guest pass in the past got you in. So you didn't have to plan your day around standing in line and queuing for 45 minutes to an hour.
That was
you could just go up to the special panel entrance and enter in. You could show up to the convention 15 minutes, 45 minutes before your panel started, and it wasn't a big deal. Not this time. Not this time. You had to sit in the fucking GAQ, which I sat with my mom. This is her first time going in. And we were in that line for almost an hour in the rain outside. And then by the time that Ty came and he had left work early and was on his way to the panel, and he was used to how it was before. Even last year, we had a special guest pass and we could like get in there immediately. He was wrapped around the building, He's like, there's no way, no way I'm getting in. And that was on a Thursday, and it was like the busiest Thursday I've ever seen.
Oh my God. Yeah. I paid $60 in parking for 3 days because everywhere was packed. Like normally you could just park at City Creek and it was all packed. But yeah, I actually got stopped a few times trying to go into the convention. I was like, I have a panel in an hour and a half and I can't wait in line. And they were like, which panel? And I'm literally pulling it up in the app. I'm like, here's my email. Here's this. Literally a panelist. But I have the
docket. That's the other shitty thing. This year, they took panelists off of the app and the website. So not only could you not search your own shit and save it, but people couldn't search you either. And there was no way to prove to like the poor free fucking volunteers working that like, no, this is me. I'm on this panel. It's starting now. I need to go. Which is like crazy. It's so fucking crazy. Like I used to think it was bad before, mama.
And then another change that they had made that I had not planned for was they used to feed us as panelists. And when I went in, they actually had a handler inside of the green room, so I had to go in and I had to show my ID each time for the green room, which whatever. And then I go into the green room and there was a lady sitting at the table of food. And I went over and I heard a guy like kind of fussing at her, kind of being mean to her. And I'm like, I made it a point. I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but I'm not going to be mean. Mm-hmm. So I go up and she goes, can I see your ID? And I was confused because I had already shown my ID. And I'm like, yeah. So I show her my ID and she goes, you're not on the list to get fed. And I was like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And she like started to like explain it. I'm like, you don't have to explain anything to me. It's not your problem. It's not my problem. I'm going to get some water from this little free water thing and I'm going to fuck off. Thank you for being a volunteer. And I'm like, that's the shittiest job in the convention. Her job is literally up in the fucking attic checking people's IDs on whether or not they can be fed. And I was like, shit, I didn't realize I had to feed myself, because that was like also another little perk was they'd have snacks out, like chips and things like that. And I was like, oh, wow. So I'll buy my own food, like whatever. Well, but it was another expense I didn't account for.
Even the green room situation is crazy because like they cut people who had green room access, like me, for example, and other people who voiced it in the panelist group who had green room access in the past and then didn't get it this year.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, whatever. That's fine. I'm only doing one panel this year. That's fair. And then when you told me that you went into the green room and it was just an empty room because you weren't on the list to get fed, I was like, no fucking way.
That's crazy. Surprise me. Cause they had like a bowl of like trail mix out and then also like a bowl of chips. And I was like, I don't want a bowl of things, you know? I was like, man, if they had fresh fruit, I could at least like wash it in the bathroom. So that was kind of a bummer. They didn't have drinks out either. They had like water and tea, which I drink tea, but I just didn't account for it. And I was like, this is so wild to me because the amount of money I put in on research in buying the materials I needed. I also bought Harley Quinn stuff. As soon as I got the Harley Quinn panel, I was overnighting shit from Amazon. And I was like, Jesus, man, there's a lot of cuts here. And then just a little bit of the, I don't know, like the cuts, the mentality of the con is that they're paying us with a pass, whatever. But the downsides is just like, okay, well, but then I don't feel like I'm getting my panel advertised because I'm doing this for free, not for exposure, but I'm doing it for like the sharing of knowledge. And it sounds hokey, but like advertise the panel so that people know, because these were fucking good panels. Like,
well, and that's the
any
other,
one of these panels were amazing.
That was the other tea of it all, is that like, so not only did they remove panelists from the website and the app, so we didn't get like our bios. Mm-hmm. We weren't even listed as just names.
Yeah, and I still had to fill out a bio. That's another crazy thing.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just, there wasn't anything there. But they also did not advertise any of these panels because there were panels that were being changed the day of.
Yes.
The day of. They were getting their hours and their rooms changed. So even if the panelists themselves, thankfully that wasn't the case for us, but like, other panelists and their other panels, even if they did want to advertise it themselves, doing this thing that the con should do for them, they couldn't. It would have been impossible.
Yeah.
Because the con was changing the place and the time constantly and consistently, as recent as the day of the actual panel, hours before it was supposed to start. They got a new time and a new room.
Yeah. So when I was filling out all the moderator information, there was a part that said, like, how much notice do you need if your panel can be changed? And I think I put on the longest amount of time. And then it was like, are you open to panel changes day of? And I said no on everything. So I wonder if people who said that they were okay with panel changes got bounced around, because I'm like, I'm not fucking okay with it.
No, it's not okay at all.
Yeah, and it's like, I can't have no notice. I wrote 21 fucking pages of notes for X-Men, a 45-minute panel. I cannot. I got lucky with Harley because she doesn't have 30 years of Harley Quinn. Easy.
Yeah.
But even then, that was all I did for a few days, was just researching her.
Well, the other annoying thing is like saying that the trade-off is a 3-day pass for just you is insane, because it's like, not only am I getting materials for research, I am also researching. I am also writing. I am also prepping. Like, I'm giving you free labor there. Also, I'm taking the day off of my work, or if I'm a parent, I'm getting daycare. Like, I'm making arrangements so I could physically be here, which apparently has to be even more of a problem now, since they're not giving us special guest pass to get into the venue. We now have to queue with GA for 2 to 3 hours to even get inside of the building. Mm-hmm. So now we're fully days off, babysitters booked, making arrangements. And then you're taking away like the complimentary fucking can of soda. Come on.
Yeah. I was always happy with the arrangements before. I like how they did the panels this time. I know people didn't like how they did the panels. I'm willing to get more emails if I can pick and choose who's on the panels. I was bummed about the plus one. And then, I was also bummed about like hydration. it just feels like you're absolutely right. You and I did so much work. You and I even, you were even helping me with research on panels you weren't on. You did heavy lifting on Blade. Like, we were talking about the Blade panel months in advance. And let's see, what else did I do? It was Blade, X-Men.
The other thing about like the way that the new panel system is, because like I agree with you, I think that moderators should be able to pick and choose, but I think like maybe the old way and the new way need to be blended, so this bullshit doesn't happen. And also the pressure being put on moderators to get the idea, get it fleshed out, get a summary, and get your panelists all in the same day that it needs to be submitted. Like, that's crazy. Like, you should submit your panel ideas, And then when that goes to the Google form, the moderators of those panels can see who applied to be on it.
Yeah.
And then pick from there.
I agree. Because it was so hard for me to, like, it wasn't hard for me. I was lucky that I knew everyone, but I had to confirm everybody was coming as a moderator. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I'm like, whatever, they signed up. I'm assuming that they're coming. But I still had a couple panels where people couldn't come mm-hmm. on the last day. And I agree, though. It was a lot of extra work. And if my reward as a moderator is the green room, then what is that really a reward, though? Because now, like, the green room had nothing to it. Except
it was just a room that you could sit in. Yeah.
But then I'm like, I'm ostracized from everybody else because everybody's access got taken away. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why access would get taken away if the green room doesn't offer as many perks anymore. So, like,
yeah, what are they even giving?
If you and I could have gone in there and fleshed out what was going on with Star Wars in advance with the other panelists, that would have been tight.
But yeah, instead we did it on the floor outside of the room.
Yes, exactly. And then I maybe spent 8 minutes in the green room total, and that was it. And, like, it wasn't a place for me to go and prepare. The place for me to prepare for my panels was sitting on the floor in front of the panel waiting to happen.
Yeah.
And that was a super bummer because I think it took away a sacredness of the experience where the panelists could get together. And because the panel room was ghost town every time. And that's where I've met most of the people who are part of the convention. But every time I went in there, it was maybe like two guys on a computer.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm going to fuck off. Like, it wasn't a space to relax. My space to relax ended up just being sitting on the floor in front of the panel space or the convention space.
Yeah.
And we had listeners writing in not knowing how to find us too. And I'm like, if we're having that problem as a local podcast, I know that that's a bigger problem for other draws to the convention, especially because VIP panels, like celebrity panels, some of those were paid entry only. And that also wasn't communicated. So apparently people were standing in line to get to these celebrity spotlight panels, getting to the front and being turned away after standing in line for 2 hours. Because they're like, I showed up early to get a seat, but nobody told them it was paid entry only.
Yeah. Or the fact
wasn't in the panel. It also wasn't in the app.
Yeah. Nothing. No, it didn't say that anywhere. That, like, all of a sudden it was like a fucking $200 seat. And that's the other thing is, like, if we want to say what it is, and I will, this is... God, when Brian Brandenburg lost his fucking mind and made bomb threats to the U and messaged us about it, bitch, this con owes us, bitch. When that happened.
Yeah. If you're going to threaten to kill me, give me a soda pop.
I get
it's
a fucking soda.
It's the least you can do.
I get a can of Sprite.
Yeah.
When Brian Brandenburg decided that he was going to make bomb threats, they sold his shares. And they sold his shares to a company that, like, owns different conventions as well. I used to remember the name of it. Okay. And it is as clear as day. The first time it happened was last year. And we started to see changes last year. We were no longer given the second pass. It was just us and the promo code. And we were mad then. Boo-hoo. Little did we know that we had it good. And then this year, we felt the significant changes. And, I mean, even the app, this year's app sucked.
Yeah.
Dicks and cocks. Like,
yeah, it was almost
so
unusable.
It was horrific. It was one of the worst apps because, like, the app in the past, not only could you search people, which they apparently didn't want to pay a graphic designer to fucking add panel info, which whatever, peace and love to you. But, like, you couldn't even save the panels. So, like, in the past, you would be able to, like, click the panels that you wanted to see and then say, like, set a reminder 5 minutes, 15, 30 minutes, an hour before this panel starts. And then you would always have that, like, in the app ready to go. And not just for, like, our panels, but also, like, celebrity panels, signings, all that shit. Which
our friends' panels, like,
wasn't
panels
a thing,
with people we wanted to see. Yeah.
Was not a thing this year. So they clearly didn't want to pay, like, a graphic designer or a fucking app maker or whatever. They didn't want to pay someone to who runs their website to do that shit anymore. And then obviously cutting corners and pennies with the green room thing, removing people's access and only giving certain people the quote unquote complimentary food, AKA a shared bowl of Chex Mix. And then of course the pass deal and them not wanting us to be able to, like, get in, but just deal with BGA. Just, you know, go sit in that fuck, go queue for 3 hours, then come in here and do your free labor for me. You should be so thankful. Mm-hmm. And then we even hear the discourse about people who have gold and VIP passes, which are really expensive. And they find out that all that does is give them a little fucking laminated lanyard. They get 30 minutes or like an hour of extra time on the floor before GA people come in. But there's no way to get them. There was only like one VIP entrance and it wasn't communicated well and it wasn't advertised anywhere. And it wasn't
was that on the map?
The app.
Yeah,
it wasn't
and
on
the
map.
Map.
It
had
wasn't
it mislabeled.
On the map. Yeah. So like the VIP people were stuck in the 3 hour queue around the block anyway.
Yeah.
So they didn't even really get to like facilitate that. And then they go into the convention and find out that the VIP means nothing and that they have to pay additional hundreds of dollars to get like good seating at celebrity panels. It's a fucking scam, mama. It's a full blown scam.
Yeah, it sucks. I feel bad for the people who pay money to go to the convention. I have paid money for like my friends and loved ones to get into the convention. And then what's also crazy there is like then they in turn are spending money at the convention, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So it's like I would say that like for every free pass that they give us, we're probably bringing in like $300 worth of stuff because people come and they buy art and they pay, they buy food. And then if they have a good experience, they come again next year. But yeah, I feel bad for the people who paid. I feel, but like joke's on me because they're going to ask me to do it again next year and I'm still going to put in the same amount of effort and work. And I know you will too, because we're going to come correct because we were fucking raised right. But I wish that the people who were putting in the work got that like rewarded in some way. I don't give a shit if those shitty panelists only get a pass for one day. But I think that there needs to be some people who are busting their ass for the convention and it should at least be paid off somehow. Like I appreciate the pass. Thank you. I'm very grateful for the pass, but that's not 100% reflective of what I'm doing there. Because then when my panels or our panels are standing room only, we're also keeping all those people who paid money happy by bringing you good content.
Yeah. And it's going to get to the point. It's going to get to the point where like these people are realizing like, oh, this con is pay to play. And one of the few things that you can do for free as of right now is go to like our types of panels. Mm-hmm. And it's a place where they can sit away from the con floor and have fun and learn something new and get to like geek out on their fandoms. And it's one of the few, dare I say one of the last free perks that everyone, no matter your pass type, gets in this fucking convention. And the fact they're deprioritizing that speaks volumes to what this like convention is becoming.
Yeah. And it's the only place where it's the only place where you can sit and collect your thoughts. And it's the only place where you're not walking through a sea of people.
Yeah.
And our Star Wars room was super full. I think my least full ones were the ones that were like late at night. I had the graphic novel panel for like, there's probably maybe only like 30 people there.
Yeah.
But our Star Wars panel kept people happy. The Avengers panel kept people happy.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of people unhappy though, have you been seeing the Pauly Shore discourse?
Apparently he sucked. Like I can't find actual details, but people would come up to his booth or whatever, like his author signing, and he was just on the phone, right?
Yeah. So first of all, let me say the Pauly Shore discourse in the FanX Salt Lake Comic Convention TM group is the most attention this man has gotten since 1993. Yeah. Let me fucking say that right now. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10 that I could see off the top of my head posts about Pauly Shore with 150 comments, 159 comments of people talking about how he was a shitbag, how he was rude, how he was disrespectful, how he shouldn't be invited back. And I am just literally, it's so funny to me because I'm like, Also, there's people defending him. Everybody this con, apparently. I regret meeting Pauly Shore. He was so rude and obnoxious. Me. Have you never seen any of his movies? I also, like, this guy messaged, like, his Pauly Shore's manager about it and, like, got a response. It was, Dan is aware and we do apologize to you and all who were not treated kindly by him. First of all, this is Pauly Shore, bitch. What?
Yeah.
What are we talking about? I did not know he had
a draw.
What are we fucking talking about? Like, I'm not trying to say, like, you guys come on, but also you guys come on. You paid true American dollars to see Pauly fucking Shore in the year of our Lord 2023, and you're upset that it didn't go swimmingly? When was he last relevant? Like, don't, 90s? I'm not getting you wrong. I love Encino Man, but that was 1992, yeah. Girl. That was 1992. Like, the last thing he did was in 2003, and you're fucking confused as to why he's being a shitbag to you? What? Why are, like, I just can't. And I also think he's done, like, weird things recently because it's Pauly fucking Shore. Like, I feel like reading everyone's in detailed complaints about him to the point where they're, like, messaging his managers and messaging the managers of the con. I'm like, do we not remember who he is? Even in his heyday, he was, like, a loser.
Yeah, even the only thing that I've really seen now that the algorithm is telling me that Pauly Shore's a thing is that he has been openly harassing Richard Simmons to let Pauly Shore play him in his, like, biopic. So that's, like, the only thing. It's like, Pauly Shore's back at it, and he's, like, dressing up like Richard Simmons, and that poor wholesome fitness guru just needs to be left alone.
By the way, I think he just wants to, like, go away.
Yeah, so that was wild. And then Gina Carino or whatever, Carano, being invited. And then I saw people, nobody was, like, supporting her. But then in the comments on some of them, they're like, well, I had a photo op with her and she was nice. And I'm like, I fucking see you.
Yeah, the fact that they brought Gina fucking Carano, and we talked about this on Patreon, but for those who don't know, like, Gina Carano was kicked off of Mando. Disney said, girl, leave, because she said that being a Republican was akin to being a Jew in the Holocaust. And keep in mind, that's me summarizing. She wrote a fucking diatribe about it.
Yeah, she has a manifesto. And
then when being so fucking genuine, it was crazy. It was cuckoo fucking bananas. And then she put, because, like, Tita Miss Sis, everyone thought she was a lesbian. And so all the fucking rainbow sisses on Twitter were like, pronouns in bio, queen, let's go. Pronouns in bio. And meanwhile, she's a fucking transphobe, so who's not a lesbian at all. So then she puts, like, beep, boop, bop in her bio, being just a cunt, being an unfunny cunt, let's call it like funny. It is. And when people were asking her, like, hey, what was that about? She was saying some fucking trad wife shit, you know, like, there's only two genders. This is so stupid. And it's like, come on, bitch.
Also, the fact that Pedro Pascal's sister is transgender and then she's going to co-sign on what he built with fucking Mandalorian by being a transphobe. I'm so glad she got fucking fired.
Yeah, me too. She's the only reason why she's relevant and cashing checks is because of Pedro Pascal shutting the scenes down. Like, come on, you fucking bitch. Yeah. So Disney got rid of her, thankfully, because, like, that's crazy. She was being crazy. And she got picked up by fucking the Daily Mail. She became Ben Shapiro and Jordan fucking Peterson's little bitch girl, making their crazy conspiracy theorist right-wing propaganda straight-to-streaming Daily Mail users only videos. That's what she's been doing. And stupid fucking dick suck Fanex was like, bring that bitch over here. Bring her fucking over here. Disney canned her ass because she's not appropriate, family-friendly, or kind. But let's bring her to our fucking convention because her most recent shit is some fucking jerk off war movie by fucking the Daily Mail, some propaganda shit. Like, yeah, it is fucking crazy.
Here's
and
the thing.
Then,
I'm not surprised FanX brought her. The response should have been not one single fucking person should have showed up for her.
Well, that's the problem, though. Like, that's the fucking problem. And I think, like, this... I think this happened when we were still on air. But, like, people were responding to that announcement and to FanX in general saying, like, hey, this makes me super uncomfortable. I don't feel safe here. I don't want to bring my kids here. I don't want to come here. Also, the type of people that she brings now are not the type of people who come to this convention, who want to be a part
of it. That's the T.
They're just going to come here for her to start shit. Like, because that's the audience she has now. She's on that fucking Breitbart, Daily Mail, Ben Shapiro type shit now. And so, like, that's going to be the audience that she attracts, like, these edgelords who, like, show up to the men's rights conventions. Like, that's her audience now. And, like, that's the people you're bringing. And obviously, that's why fucking FanX did it. And you could tell because there was war in the comment section. And the people who were, like, pro Gina Carano were like, I don't even give a fuck about this convention, but now I'm coming because of this. And look at all these fucking snowflakes crying in the fucking comments, whatever bullshit ass, not funny comebacks they say, regurgitated, dusty ass shit. So then you have people in the comments saying, like, look, like, literally look above, like, look, this is the energy you're inviting in by allowing her to be here. And then what did fucking Dick Balls FanX do? Deleted all the comments, just deleted it.
Just deleted
it. Was just like,
comments.
And then we're like, we're just, you know, we allow discourse and disagreements, but we're not going to tolerate the rude behavior. And it's like, you're not going to tolerate rude behavior, but you're inviting the fucking racist transphobe here.
Right? You're not going to tolerate rude behavior, but you're going to bring somebody who fucking embodies it, who, like, allows people to behave that way with their comments and empowering them. Okay.
On. Fucking idiots. Oh my God. The brain rot is terminal with those fuckers. And, like, I don't even feel bad for that social media girl who was getting paid $7.25 an hour that day to sit there and delete those comments and write that response. Fuck you, bitch.
Let them go. Don't hide. Fuck you, bitch. Don't
let,
be a coward.
Yeah, let it
about
out.
It.
Yeah. Just
them.
Show it. Show it. If you you want to invite Gina Carano to your dusty, musty convention, your scam con, Q con, you want to invite that old haggard bulldog face bitch to your fucking convention, then say it with your chest, bitch. Don't delete the comments. Say it with your fucking chest. Like, show the world who you really are. You and fucking Alpha Male Con are the only two fucking conventions in this country inviting that raggedy ass hoe around. Show it.
Right? That's the thing. Invite them. If you're going to invite them, don't delete the comments, you fucking cowards. Let people have an open discourse. But to say we don't allow bullying, then delete the comments of people supporting her too, because that's inherently more violent in what it implies than anyone saying, I think this is a bad idea.
But also, you cannot say, period, we're deleting these because of bullying, we're deleting these because it's hateful, when you are inviting literally Gina Carano. Come on, bitch. Come on, bitch. Like, you have to be one or the other. You either don't invite her and don't allow that type of shit to happen, or you invite her and you let the floodgates open. This is what you wanted. This is what you wanted when you fucking involve her and invited her. So, like, let it be. Let it happen. It was so frustrating being in that comment section. Because my really funny comment got deleted where I said, oh my God, is Brian Brandenburg on parole and booking guests now?
Yeah.
And they deleted it.
No!
That's not even hateful.
That's a crime
question.
Against humanity. Yeah.
That's a real question, bitch. That's a real question. Don't hide from who you are. Like, answer it. Answer me now. But it was crazy being in that comment section because Gina Carano really brings out the, like, racist aunt and uncles who are perpetually stuck in the original, like, Trump 2015 election cycle on Facebook, like, still using the same, like, musty comebacks and comments. Like, they just regurgitate and regurgitate and regurgitate this, like, these old comebacks, and it just like took me back to a time. I felt like I was transported. I felt like I had gone back in the dimension, and it was creeping me out. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
They're back.
Right. I was like, I didn't think, not this convention, not in our house, but I'm like, oh, of course, they're everywhere.
Of course.
The comment I posted, it was because I saw somebody on my friends list who's heavily involved in cosplaying at the convention, and then she was defending, like, oh, she was super nice. I'm like, oh, I fucking see you.
Oh my. Will you send me that person's information privately? Yeah.
Yep. Oh my God, if I can remember their name, because like I always think of them as like the person they cosplay as.
Also, I think it was like $150 for a signature.
Oh, good. I hope they paid a ton of fucking money to her, and I hope she takes all that money and just blows out on being a piece of shit. I hope she doesn't do anything. I hope she doesn't put that in her 401k. I hope not one single penny goes to her health insurance. I hope that she puts it all on black and fucking loses. That's what I hope for her.
Like, doing fucking PCP would have been a better use of money than getting
a signature.
Oh my God,
PCP laced with fentanyl. Just get out. Like, get out.
Yeah, get out, bitch. Get out, bitch. Also, another, I'm going to blank on her name again. It's Alexandra,
Daddario or whatever.
Daddario, yeah. Alexandra Daddario, who is low key kind of a scream queen. I personally feel she was in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D. She was in the Mayfair Witches. She was in Barrier X, which is one of my favorites. We Summon the Darkness. To me, she is a scream queen. I know that she does other things, but that's just how I see her. And she was at the convention. And no surprise, they had to put a kibosh on people bringing like semi-naked photos of her and trying to make her sign it. And she was like, no, I'm not doing
it. Show me that boob one where the kid was like, I'm only 19. My hand's on her booby. I was like, what the fuck?
Oh my fucking titty fucking Christ. That post, I sent Chelsea a post in this. And I'm not going to say kid because he's an adult man. He's 19.
The 19-year-old man.
He could go to war. He could go to fucking war, bitch.
He can vote and take my rights away.
Yeah. He posted this himself. He posted the picture that he took of her and was like, I don't want to hear comments about the hand placement. I'm only 19. Like, I'm a widow baby.
With his hand up here.
He had his hand.
I guess people can't see on camera.
People can't see.
It was fully down her throat and coming out of her anus, practically.
He was giving her a, a mammogram? He was feeling her breast for lumps. Like,
yeah, and he's too young to be a doctor, so.
I'm not fucking kidding you guys. His hand was holding underneath her breast, and he was gripping. You could see his fucking fingers gripped. He was gripping. Good he was God. Holding on for dear fucking life. And I saw the picture first before I read what he posted because I was like, damn, like I thought someone had found it in the wild and was like, hey, let's not fucking do this. But it was the man in the photo being like, I'm a little baby. I'm a little baby.
Yeah, why would you post that?
You guys can't call me creepy for webbing your booby. I'm a little baby. I was losing my fucking mind.
How do you get you don't get access to these people physically? That is so fucking gross. I still ask my friends if I'm like allowed to touch them. Like, you know, I'm like, can I look at your shirt? Is it okay if I touch it? The fact that he comes in just full on feeling for breast cancer on this poor woman is
this
disgusting.
Poor woman. It was, and like,
he knew what he was doing. He should have been removed immediately.
That's what I'm saying. The person behind the camera should have been like, stop, get out. What the fuck are you doing with your hand? And then he would have been like, I'm only 19, my little baby. And then I would have punched him in the face. I would have kicked him in the fucking throat and made his Adam's apple choke him out.
It would be,
I could not.
Mind your P's and Q's. If you inappropriately touch one of these people, even accidentally, you're kicked the fuck out with no refunds. How's that sound? Like that
and
needs
the fact
to
that
be
he
on
like,
there.
He got it, grabbed it, and then gripped in. I could not fucking believe it. So I just want to say, Alexandra Daddario, I know that you're an avid listener and a big fan. I'm so fucking sorry. I am so fucking sorry that these unwashed little pubic crabs did that to you. I'm sorry that that grown child, that yeah. grown man child grabbed you like that and no one did anything. And she still like had that smile on her face. And I know that she was dying inside. I'm sorry that these nasty little scabs, these little rat boys, these little rat faces were trying to force you to sign pictures of yourself where you were like semi-naked at this fucking convention in front of everyone. Like, I'm sorry that happened. I'm sorry that these are gross, nasty, disgusting little fucking foot funguses. It's so gross. So gross. I'm so yeah. sorry. I'm yeah. so sorry that no one did anything for you.
Yeah, it should have, and the photographer too should have immediately been like, no, I'm not mm-hmm. taking that picture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I hope that that kid is bullied relentlessly, honestly. I'll say it. I don't fucking care. I don't care. Bring back cyberbullying, bitch. Bring it fucking back.
We've
Bring
already it back said in a big it. Way. This type of social justice reprimand is the way that we protect ourselves from people like him. Baby. You might just be a baby, but I'm a woman with a mouth, and I'll fucking get you. Like,
yeah.
stop being a pervert.
I'm fucking clucking, bitch. I'm yap. Yapping about you, bitch.
I've been out here scratching, picking up dough, whatever that song is. I'll get you.
So, yeah. I will say, this was the busiest the convention has ever been. Mm-hmm. That was super unfortunate. I feel so bad for everyone who had to wait out in line.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't seen that type of bullshit, that cumfuckery with the queuing in line since the first 2 years of the convention, which,
yeah,
mind
wild.
You, we've been here since it happened. We've been going since it happened. And I haven't seen queuing like that since back then in its first and second year.
Yeah.
I think that the way that they had the layout of the con this year was really cluttered and funky and didn't have cohesion and didn't make sense. I felt like Artist Alley was such a staple and I felt like they just broke it up and shoved it wherever. And I have a feeling yeah. that probably has to do with who was willing to pay for what space,
yeah.
which is super unfortunate.
Corner spaces are more, end caps are more.
Yeah. So I also noticed that rather than having cohesive, like up and down aisles, they were like having people in the middle, like in between aisles. It was really funky. They were clearly trying to fit more vendors in and it just did not work for the cohesion of the con of being able to just go up and down, up and down. There were so many yeah. Vendors we even missed seeing because they would be squeezed in between what would usually be a single file aisle.
Yeah.
They would like have them off to the side. It was really weird.
I found that a lot of the booth numbers were generalizations. So even then it was like, what? It would be like, oh, this is on row 1500. And I'm like, it's a long ass row that I got to go try to find this one single thing. And it was so crowded that there was stuff that was like hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not advertise their comic book artists or their comic book creators properly.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a bummer. I did actually buy a comic while I was there because I was walking by. I had a very short break on Saturday and I was walking by and it said, what Mouse did for the Holocaust, this comic will do for prison reform. So I picked it up. I haven't gotten a chance to read it yet, but it's called Dog Years. And it's done by like the social media stuff on it is JBK Ronenfeld, so JBKRONENFELD, but it's literally like a dog behind bars, and I'm so fucking excited to read it. But I would be, and they also did they sealed their comic book correctly. One of the things that drives me nuts is when people tape the comic book shut with like one single vertical tape, and they didn't do that. But it looks amazing. I like the black and white art.
Mm-hmm.
I love a thick line art comic because I think that the current trends with comic books have been kind of going more of the vertigo route of just being kind of like muddy splash pages.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this, like the juxtaposition of the black and whites, I think is like testament to classic comic book writing. And I look really forward to reading it. The back of it says, Kurt Vilkas was a drug dealer, a monkey wrencher, the top dog until he got caught. Violent gangs, sadistic guards, the demons of his past. Will prison make him more of an animal or reveal the man he could become? fucking excited to read this.
Oh, I love that. Yeah,
I only bought one comic while I was there. That's how few the other comic book creators that were there. I've already gotten stuff from them before.
Yeah, I also could not tell you where any of them were because I couldn't fucking see them. So
yeah.
I love that. Oh, I'm glad.
I
Mouse is
borrow it.
Fantastic. Yeah. So yeah. I'm excited to read that.
So yeah, it was really great. I was kind of bummed. My favorite booth that is normally there will take comics, like just regular runs of comics, and put them together, and then you pay a price for the bundle. This year they only had variant covers, and I know people collect them, but that's where I get most of my single issue comics is from them because they're all bundled, and that was a super bummer to see. But you and I bought earrings. Those are super cute. Mm-hmm. Most of the stuff that I got was, oh, I got you the Twilight shirt. I got some art. It was hard to shop. It was very hard to be
it was
in
really
front of
hard
a booth
to shop.
So.
Yeah. There was one year where the con had, and I think it was pre-COVID too, which is kind of funny, but I think they also did it last year where they had marked with tape, like, this is a walking up, this is a walking down, and then this is right in front of the booth if you wanted to stop and read or look. So there were like three lanes of traffic on each side of the aisles, and it was perfect because you would be just like walking and they'd be like, oh, let's stop here. And then you just step into the stopping and looking aisle. And I think that makes for better cohesion of traffic and foot traffic, and also makes the vendors more money. And it just, everyone's happy. So it was weird that they didn't do that.
I think they need to kick the fuck out the people who just are resellers. Unless it's comic book stuff. But even then, I think local comic shops should be invited. I think resellers who all sell like the same plushes, the same, I don't know, like backpacks and trinkets, any reseller of that sort, I don't think should be allowed. They should go the way of the MLM. There was, I think, an MLM there. I think there was like a Sensei that I saw. And I was
there was like an essential oil.
MLM should not be allowed. It should be fucking artists, comic book creators, other types of creators. I think that those are the people who should be rewarded because it's so expensive to get a booth. And then what if nobody buys your shit? Then you're screwed. But then you'll have these places who can buy the big space because they're just resellers of unofficially licensed Pokemon plushes, which are fun, but they don't deserve the space.
Yeah, we don't need 17 of them. We don't need fucking Temu.com and fucking Shein having booths at the con.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, but we also live in a reality where every single year the Scientology/L. Ron Hubbard booth grows by three tables.
Oh,
this time they had two statues and 10 tables. They took up an entire U shape. So
we still have to make our L. Ron Hubbard is a bitch shirt. And maybe I'll just start on the art for it now. I'll get a quick sketch going. But
we need something good. We need him. We need his face on it in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. So we'll
maybe
get
like him in like a little red thong.
Oh, and a Princess Leia slave outfit? No, he doesn't deserve that.
No, he would like that too much. But yeah, so we say that. I agree with you. I agree that like local comic book vendors should have priority, but we're also talking about the con that invited Gina Carano and gave Scientology 10 booths and two statues. So
yeah. Yeah.
I just don't think they're taking the moral high ground.
No. So yeah, all in all, I did have a super great time. I wouldn't trade this convention for anything in the world, but that was the experiences that I had with meeting comic creators like Jim Starlin, and also doing the panels where you and I got ovations on like the Star Wars panel. Mm-hmm. I'll keep fucking going. I would just like to see that, the effort is appreciated in the way that the panel and in the way that the convention treats us.
Yeah. I would just like a little give and take. I always know I'm not an idiot. I know that the con will always come out on top. I know that they always need to have one up on me. I get that. I accepted that. But to be kicked into the dirt in such a way as we were this year is just insulting. And we are more than willing to give them our effort, our free labor, our extensive research, our preparedness, and our professionalism. And at the very least, they just need to make it easy for us to be there physically. So I Agreed. Just feel like that's not a lot to ask. So it was disappointing this year in that sense. But you had a pretty special experience on one of your panels.
I did. I went to Jim Starlin's panel. And for those who maybe are a little bit less familiar with comic book history, he's essentially the guy who created everything good about what the MCU did, specifically with like the Infinity Gauntlet and Thanos. He created Thanos. He created Drax. He wrote some of the best storylines of all time. But I was going to say
he did Gamora as well. Yeah.
Yes. He created all the ones that we know and love.
And Death Girl.
He did the death of Captain Marvel, and he did it by him dying of cancer, which was such a renovation in the time of like comic book deaths, because they tend to be just off the rails. Mm-hmm. And I asked a question in the panel that he was on, and it was basically like, hey, considering how the Marvel method and the Marvel bullpen consistently and notoriously shut down a lot of creative endeavors, how would the Marvel universe have looked different if you would have been let off leash? And he answered it in a very respectful way, because you can't shit on Stan Lee, right?
Yeah.
But then after I left, I guess he needed a handler for his booth, and he was like, give me that girl. I liked her. So I got to hang out with Jim Starlin and work his booth the whole time. And then he went out to dinner with me and Validity Studios, and he was so cool, and he was telling us all these different stories about Marvel. And honestly, it was such a life-changing experience, because it was scary. There was a thing in the back of my mind. We talked about the assault at the beginning, but I was very worried about going to this convention because men are there. And then to meet your hero, who is a man, I was like, fuck, dude, I hope that he can still be on that pedestal. And he exceeded those expectations. Absolutely so great to hang out with. He and I actually shared a bond over the fact that we don't like to drink our Airborne. We just chew it. So I chewed down an Airborne with Jim Starlin. And then afterwards we went and got sake. And I'll tell you what I was most worried about was, you know, I'm not a drinker. Yeah. Infamously have spit out almost every shot I've tried to take in my life. Mm-hmm. But when Jim Starlin was like, here's to a good convention, pours me a shot of hot sake, and he shoots it down, I shot it down. Blessed be, did not fucking react. I took it like a G, probably popped every blood vessel in my brain, not reacting to it. My solar plexus is now detached from my diaphragm. But I was like, that was really good. And then he poured me another, and I was like, I will be right back. And then I went and I prayed for about 45 minutes because
you throw up in the bathroom and you come back?
Three shots of sake with Jim Starlin, and I handled every one of them with the grace and maturity of a seasoned alcoholic.
Wow.
But yeah, I was I was scared.
Wow. That is so fun. I am genuinely so happy for you. Also, you forgot to mention one of his greatest accreditations, which is him coming into DC Comics and writing Death in the Family, bitch.
Dude,
which is the best fucking series. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So
come on.
Here's one that he told me. That got him fucking fired, right? Because I was like, can I just have some like tea? Delicious like stuff? And he was like, yeah, so I knew that he hated Jason Todd. He hated doing Robin because the aesthetics of the DC universe are very dark, especially when it comes to Batman. And he's like, you have this badass with this very flamboyantly colored little red and green ballerina prince prancing around. Yeah. And he was like, I didn't like how he looked and I hated writing him. So they had a suggestion booth in DC. And at the time they wanted to give a character AIDS. And so they were like, let's give someone AIDS.
Also, that is so DC of them. That is so DC of them.
So at the time, they were like, he shoved the whole ballot box full of Robin. But they took all of his suggestions out because they could read his handwriting. And then they were going to have Jimmy Olsen get AIDS. But then it came out that the actor who was playing Jimmy Olsen in real life actually had AIDS. And they're like, oop. So I believe the person who ended up getting AIDS was the Green Arrow's sidekick, the girl Speedy. That's not part of the story, though. But he was like, I still really want to kill Robin. And they're like, we'll tell you what. And then they do the whole phone convention, like, campaign, where people call in to either kill him or not. And it was only off by, like, 70-something votes. Statistically insignificant. But he's in Mexico at the time all of this is happening. He gets back, and they're like, go ahead, kill him. And he's like, yes! Kills Robin off.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best. The best Robin storyline of all time. I don't think anyone would argue that.
Yeah.
One of the best Joker storylines of all time. Maybe tied with Killing Joke. It is quintessential that if you want to read comic books, if you want to read Batman, if you're a fan of Batman, if you want to read DC Comics, you have to read that story because it is so paramount. I almost feel like it's untouchable in how good it is.
And like you and I have done, if you remember back, we did a deep dive on The Killing Joke years ago.
This is on par with Killing Joke.
Oh, I personally think Death in the Family above. And that's coming from a bitch who's obsessed with The Killing Joke. But like, I think Death in the Family is, it's light years ahead because it came out in what, 88? It came out in 88 and it killed Robin in the most horrific, heartbreaking way that it echoed some of like Batman's deepest fears of being a child, being unable to save his parents. But now he's an adult with all the resources. He's literally fucking Batman and he failed again in the same way. It is fucking gorgeous. It's dark. It's demented. It's evil, sick, and twisted. And it was like the first to ever fucking do it. And I think arguably it sets us up for some of the best continuation series off of Jason Todd.
100%. Like, and Bruce Wayne in the way that he deals with Tim Drake.
Yes.
And the fact, and also how his reliance on Dick Grayson.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it gave us the expanded universe that, like, I bet that Jim Starlin didn't even imagine was going to happen. Yeah. But, like, by doing that, by killing Robin in such a way that echoed, like, the you are unable to save him, even though you have everything you wished you had as a child, you have it now, and you still fucking failed. You still fucking failed. Like, that is so, oh, it's just juicy, delicious, gorgeous. That's why I love Batman, because he's the darkest, nastiest, grimiest character who fails constantly.
Yep.
Because he's just a fucking guy who won't go to therapy. So he's going to fail constantly. And I truly think that the first time we see that, which I think is the iconic arc of Batman, was because of this story that Jim Starlin did.
Yeah.
I hope you tell him that I love him so much.
We talked, we did talk about, like, the thing I told him was when Captain America fights Thanos, it cemented for me the importance of Captain America, not only as a hero, but as somebody I try to aspire to be. And I apologize for how cheesy it sounded, but I was like, it is such a transformative experience to read something that speaks to your soul. And I wouldn't be the person I am today unless you had written that. And I'm so grateful for you. And he was like, oh, but anyway, I probably simped too hard, but that got him fucking fired, the killing of Jason Todd. And you want to know why? Because marketing had already licensed fucking bedsheets and toys of Jason Todd, and now they couldn't sell them. So DC fired him, despite the fact they did this entire campaign to have him be killed off. So he's like, all right. He goes to Marvel. Marvel's like, why don't you write this story?
They said, oh my God, you did Death in a Family, do Infinity War.
He came over to write Iron Man. Got let go from Iron Man because Stan Lee didn't like it. And they're like, just take this and do what you can with it. And he wrote fucking Infinity War.
That is the tea, girl. That, knowing that the same man who wrote Death in a Family wrote Infinity War makes all the sense. It makes that. And I think he is, I think I read that he was a veteran. So it makes sense. Yeah. He was in Vietnam. It makes so much sense. Like
he's in the Navy.
Yeah. He was an aviation photographer. Which also some of this is going to get so dark. Some of my like really great special effects references that even people in the industry use are from aviation photographers in Vietnam. You can figure out why, but it just makes so much fucking sense. That's so cool. When you said that, I was so happy cool. for you. I was so fucking happy for you.
And he was totally, he was like the coolest person ever. And it was so awesome meeting him, working with him the whole day. Like was, I don't know. I feel like I died by eating some of like the shitty food that they laid out for me in the green room. And then I went to heaven and now I just get to exist in a heaven where I got to hang out with Jim Starlin. And it was just, it just surpassed everything. And I was like, fuck, dude, like, how do I even pay it forward? And he was so cool. He wanted, he liked my art. I sent him a shirt that I had designed for Junction City, the Alien one, because I feel like that is my magnum opus of drawing ever.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, it's really good.
But yeah, it was wild. So I just want to say that like, comic books have always been on the forefront of culture, and mm-hmm. it's obvious because you have people like that writing their comic books, and mm-hmm. they are continuing putting stuff like themselves out into that space. And the fact that he could see a fan and make a dream come true in the most gracious, awe-inspiring way possible, like probably changed me down into my fucking bone marrow to the fact where I might even be a better person for the rest of my life because of it. Like it was so fucking cool. And I'm grateful. I'll never not be grateful.
You aren't just like a fan. Like, and that's why he recognized that, even with just the question you asked. Like you, when I describe you to people, I say you're a comic historian. And I mean that, and it's a full accreditation that you should stand by. And there is no one more deserving of that recognition than you, period. Like, oh, period. You. So I'm so proud of you. Oh my God, I'm going to cry.
Are you going to cry? You're going to make me cry.
I'm so proud of you.
Stop like, it. Now I'm crying.
Every year that we do this, I'm so impressed by you and your professionalism and just the care that you put into learning like history and representing us, you know, like it was, oh my God, this is so pussy.
Stop it.
It was so tough being like a girl going in by yourself into a comic shop and feeling like everyone was talking down to you. And I know that like my comic book history and love is only a fraction of yours, but knowing that you're out there representing us, like, not just us as a podcast, not just us as friends, but, like, little girls who love comics. Like, I'm so fucking proud of you, and I'm so glad that he saw that and he recognized you for that. Because you deserve it.
Oh, you my God.
You deserve it so much.
Oh.
So. Anyway.
Oh, he's crying.
The noise it just made in the microphone. Anyway, if there was anyone in that fucking, not just in that room, if there was anyone in that fucking convention who deserved that recognition, it was you, and you always deserve it. So.
Oh.
So anyway, there you go. You got me.
You got me.
You really let it out. But anyway, I'm so proud of you, and you deserve that. So don't thank him, bitch. Oh. I mean, yes, thank him because that's polite. But like, thank you, honestly.
I can't wait to share like our. I just love that we can share our successes.
Yeah, of course.
So
your success is my success, and. It's every, especially now, dude, it's like every little girl who like goes and watches a Marvel movie with their dad and has that bonding experience and is like, I'm going to go online and I'm going to learn more about Captain Marvel. And then they beg their parents to drive them to fucking Heebs and they buy their first comic and they feel welcomed in this space. Like it's because of you, bitch. It's because of people like you. Seriously. I'm like, well, so for real about that.
I don't know. It's also like women like you who like empower I know I'm not good at like self-advocating, but just having you be like an example of like taking up space and knowing your worth. I definitely wouldn't be the person I am today where I would stand up and ask a question of my hero in a very like self-actualized way if I didn't know like women like you. So I'm very grateful for you.
You silly little bitch. But
Jesus Christ, let's end this before we embarrass ourselves anymore.
Just as much as you are thankful for him, I know that he's thankful for you, because it's also people like you who appreciate the artistry that goes into writing and inking comics, and who care about learning the controversies and the hardship of it. And it's so important. Like, you are just as pivotal to his career and his history and his story being told as he is to writing the stories that we read. So,
yeah. Yeah. I fuck,
dude. Give yourself a little credit, girl.
And then I guess at the end of the day, you and I both got sick. We put our heart and our soul into it. Yeah, and we got some sort of upper respiratory illness.
Yeah. I'm coughing up fucking mucus balls. And you even got the flu shot too. So
yeah, I feel like my illness is slightly different. I haven't really been coughing, but I definitely have something like upper respiratory. I feel like I have post-nasal drip.
Happen. That's for sure. Yeah. I haven't really been like, I just cough it up. I'm not coughing constantly. I just cough up like the little Mucinex guy from the commercials.
Mine can't get past my cloggy sinuses at all. So I just have to like feel it slowly dripping down my throat and giving me a slightly sore throat. That's my experience.
Which is the worst part, because then you're going to get sick from that. So keep chewing emergency, I guess, or whatever, airborne.
Yeah, I will keep doing that. And then I'm going to work on some sketches for this L. Ron Hubbard shirt, because I just want – I'm picturing him in a pink suit just throwing a fucking fit.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Let's do something fucking cool. I wonder if there's like an organization or a nonprofit that helps people leave Scientology that we could donate to.
Just Leah Remini? Should we just Venmo her?
No, not just Leah Remini. I bet there's like a group of people who like helps them, like, because, you know, like they all get stalked and shit. We'll look into it. We'll do something cool.
Especially now that like Danny Masterson, like Scientologist, is like going down for being a horrible rapist. Like there's got to be something.
Yeah. Oh my fucking God, Chelsea. Do you know the girl on TikTok who like eats the, She eats like the apple sausage and the hearts of palm, and she like dips it in mustard and cottage cheese, and it like went super fucking, oh my God, I'll send it to you. It went super fucking viral for a while because it was so weird, and she claimed up and down that it made her like healthy and lose weight and all this shit. Turns fucking out she's a Scientologist.
Boo.
So she was like totally media planted by them to like, oh, I just, this was them getting into TikTok. They knew it. It was calculated.
That's gross. Also, I was getting so many of those weird ASMR things where like they drink the whole thing of water and they have like the microphone clipped to their throat. And I think I downvoted it so often that any food shit does not come across my TikTok algorithm anymore.
She was like hard viral for almost 2 weeks straight, and it sucks because it was a massive success until people found out she was a Scientologist. And I know that there was like a boardroom of people in like at Scientology headquarters in LA, like orchestrating that. Like, oh my God. It.
Like the in A Dark Knight with the Joker, where it's just they're all looking at all the screens and they're like, how do we do it? Or at the end of The Matrix, where they just have one single guy like pulling all the strings. That was it. Yep. That was what Scientology was doing for her.
Yep. They literally calculated mathematically how to make it viral by making it like the way she would look, the way she sounded, the way she filmed it. Like, she would make it look like she was in her car or like in her kitchen, like very relatable, you know what I mean? Like normal girl
oh
core.
God.
And then like the way that she ate it and the whole thing of like dipping every single thing into the mustard and cottage cheese, how that was like strange enough to like make people ask like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, it was so calculated. Looking back on it, it is the absolute working of Scientology trying to get in on TikTok. dude,
that is just weird. If I find out that the girl who does my feather ASMR is a Scientologist, I'm gonna fucking lose it.
Ask her, hey, quick question,
are you a Scientologist?
What are your thoughts on L. Ron Hubbard?
What are your thoughts on L. Ron Hubbard? I'll do it.
Crazy.
I refuse.
You're like, are you brushing this feather across the microphone to try to rip my body of beans?
She has people sitting in front of the microphone and she goes, with the feather, she's like, And she's like cleansing their aura with the feather, and then she'll go and like pull the feather through her hand and go and like whip it to get all the like it's
good. Oh my God.
I'll send you one.
What if she's removing the ins from their body?
I'm gonna ask her the next time she comes across my algorithm, and it won't take long because I follow her. I'm like, are you a Scientologist? I have
hey,
to
quick
know.
Question.
Quick hey,
question.
QQ.
QQ. Hey, QQ, real quick. Well, let's hope. I'm hoping for your sake she's not. So, because that would be an expensive fandom to
I'm
find
also
out.
Hoping for your fucking sake, because I'm going to be insufferable if I cannot watch my ASMR feather videos.
If the ASMR feather girl turns out to be a Scientologist, I think we're losing you to Scientology officially.
I got to find her. I have to infiltrate.
You're
going to
get Dianetics.
Yeah.
Get
oh
Dianetics.
My God.
It's going to be all fucking over.
Jeez. Could you imagine if I just became a Scientologist all of a sudden?
No, I would commit you.
There's not I enough. Would... There's too much work in Scientology. If I'm going to join a cult, it's going to be one of the ones where it's like my job is just making babies.
Yeah, I'm too poor to be in Scientology. I think like the first class is like $10,000. Like I'm out immediately. There's even that local cult that we were going to try to go to their seminar, but we didn't have the money to spend.
The men's rights activists, dude.
The dollar signs keep us out.
And the Flat Earth Convention, remember? It was like almost $1,000 to get in. I was like, fuck, man. Can't go to anything.
No, and it fucking sucks. So, anyway, let's get the fuck out of here.
All right. Bye.
Bye.